this morning. We have our offertory box, and all thankful for everyone and the giving they do to support the church and the ministry. Without your giving, this wouldn't be possible. And whether you've used PayPal or the offertory box or mailed in your tithes and checks, and it's because of your gracious giving that all this is possible. I just want to thank you all for that today. Amen and amen.
Holy Church, I believe in the resurrection when Jesus.
us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come here this morning to worship the living God, Lord, to give you all glory, and we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who brings life eternal to those who place their hope in him. We thank you that we can come here today, Lord, and share this message outside. We thank you for the weather turning out so well, for sons Billy and Mike doing all their hard work, and that we can honor Bill and Joanne. And we thank you for their faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, not just members of the church, foundational church, but believers with a heart for the Lord, to follow him and to be his disciple. We thank you for that, Lord, in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So we've been going through the book of Ruth. And the book of Ruth is about Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz. And Naomi had married her husband, and they had two sons, and they lived in Bethlehem, which is the house of bread. And the irony was, in the house of bread, there was a famine, and they went off to Moab. And in this time, the sons married Orpha and Ruth. The husband died, the sons died. And even today, that would be difficult, especially in the ancient world. Naomi was by herself. And she wanted to send her daughters off because she was going to go back to Bethlehem, back to Israel. She had gone to Moab, her family, to get away from the famine. And it was time for her to go back. And Orpha and Ruth wept and wanted to go with her. And she said, "No, I have nothing for you." But it appears that Ruth had become a follower of Yahweh, the Lord God Almighty. And she went with Ruth. And she says those words, "Where you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. Where you die, I will die." And she follows Naomi. And when they get back to the small town of Bethlehem, she goes, "My name is no longer Naomi, it's Mara," which means bitter. She struggled. Life was difficult. She was angry with God. Everything had been taken away from her. Her future looked bleak. At one point, she would have said, "The future is bright. I have my sons, my husbands. They're married. I'll have grandchildren." And suddenly now, the future held nothing for her. She was destitute, alone, left to a life of poverty and begging. And her only companion was a foreign woman, a Moabite. So Ruth goes out into the field, what's called gleaning. The Israelites were supposed to, as they go through the harvest, leave food behind. Like when you shake the olive trees, don't go back a second time. Leave it for the widow, the foreigner, the homeless. When you go through your fields, leave sheaves of wheat behind. And that's what Ruth did, because Naomi's too old now. So Ruth goes out and works. And how do they introduce her? "Oh, there's the Moabite woman. She's not one of us." But Boaz notices her. I guess you could say he noticed a cute young girl in the field. And he blesses her. And Ruth goes home and tells Naomi about this. And they had no idea this would happen. Boaz was their kinsman redeemer, the family member who was supposed to look out for them. And he showed them a sed, which was loving kindness, a word which doesn't really translate, but it's a word that connotates compassion, caring, to take care of one another. And suddenly it was a 180 and everything had changed. Their future had changed. They had gone through difficult times, the valleys of life. Naomi had literally changed her name to bitterness, losing a husband, losing her sons. And Boaz would then marry Ruth. And reading this at the end of the book of Ruth, chapter 4. "So Boaz took Ruth into his home, and she became his wife. And they came together, and the Lord enabled Ruth to have a child, and she gave birth to a son. Then the women of the town said to Naomi, 'Praise the Lord, who has now provided a redeemer for your family. May this child be famous in Israel. May he restore your youth and care for you in your old age. For he is the son, your daughter-in-law, who loves you and has been better to you than seven sons.' Naomi took the baby and cuddled him into her chest, and she cared for him as if he were his own. The neighbor woman said, "Now at last, Naomi has a son again." And they named him Obed because he was the father of Jesse, and Jesse the grandfather of David. David who would become the royal king of Israel. Ruth, a foreigner, a Moabite, is in the lineage and genealogy of Jesus Christ. When they were in Moab, when they were alone, no one knew what the future would bring. It's the same for us today. I'm reading the book, What Lies Ahead by Martin Luther King. And he's known today and revered. We have a Martin Luther King Day. But back in the 60s, he had said, the dream has become a nightmare. He'd become burdened. He talks about a march they had in Mississippi and how fellow marchers even admitted they'd invited him and used him to get their own cause through. And he said, I'm used to being used. They'd had the bus boycott, they had Selma, he had the I Had a Dream speech, and yet he had no idea where it was going to go. He says it's become a nightmare. He had no idea his name would become a national holiday. No idea some of the changes we'd have in our country. And I'm not naive and say things are perfect, but we have come an incredible way from when you look at the 50s and 60s, and even hundreds, 150 years. We've come an incredible way. And he had no idea what the future would bring. But he didn't quit. Yes, you can tell when you read certain articles and books, it was a burden, and he'd wondered. He'd really seriously wondered where they would go from there. When I look to my grandfather, 10 years old, moves to the United States, living in North Dakota, I would say the coldest continental state in the United States of America, and they lived in a sod house. Sod house. And his son, my dad, was then drafted into World War II for time of duration. That means if they're still fighting the war today, my dad would still be there. And my grandfather had no idea that his kids would be spread over the United States. Entrepreneurs, careers, college, higher education. He had no idea when he came to the United States what would happen. When we have Memorial Day today, that we're here today because men and women have died so that we would have this right. You go back into other wars, they had no idea sometimes what their death would bring and the freedom it would allow. And we're thankful for that. Because of their sacrifice, because of their names on walls and plaques, we can be here today. Whereas in other countries, you can't. And many of those men and women had no idea of the freedom and what it would bring. They hoped for it. They dreamed of it. But they had no idea. And in that same vein, we look at Bill and Joanne Long today. You know, when I went to the doctor's office with them, and they're visiting with Dr. Sandu, and he's been my doctor for 40 years. I'm like, okay, so was Sandu like 35 when that started? And the people who know him, neighbors were here in saw us walking here and joined us today because they've known the Longs. Neighbors who helped him mow the yard and helped the family for Bill and Joanne. And just the legacy they are in our church. They're a blessing to us. Raising their family, their grandkids. Their plan is to have a beautiful 4th of July celebration because after COVID, they haven't been able to see the family. And they get to see their legacy. Because you know, when they were just a young couple working in the schools, they had no idea what the future would hold. And their greatest legacy is their faith in Jesus Christ. And we're thankful that we can honor them today. Because whether it's Ruth and Naomi, they had no idea. And their lives were difficult. Whether it's Martin Luther King struggling through the civil rights, my grandfather living in a sod house in North Dakota, Bill and Joanne, they had no idea what their future would bring. And I'm glad that we can be here and honor them today. We have a special gift. If you guys would come forward, Bill, this is almost as good as I'll Fly Away. This is Jeff Leiker and Dickie Rolls from CCC. Come on up here. You can just say a little something and thank you and tell us why you're here.
First of all, thank you, Doug, for hosting this. Thanks, Mike and Bill, also. We want to give this to Mr. Long as a token of appreciation for all the support. And
it's a little Red Raven helmet.
For all the years that Bill and Joanne have followed the Ravens in any sport, particularly football, when Mike came out of Field Kenley and went right out here to play for Coach Foster. I was a few years behind him, but I was down the road. Got a chance to watch him, even in Little League Baseball. I always said, who's the giant guy in sixth grade, you know, or whatever? And it happened to be Mike. He was so much taller than everybody else at that time. But so I've had a chance to be around the family. I know Mike's been gone a little while. I didn't really have a chance to know Bill, but got a chance to be around Mr. Long and Joanne during this past 20 years I've been here in Coffeyville. My grandparents had the Otasco store here in town when I was a youngster, and so there's somebody that the Longs would probably remember, Bob and Mildred Price. They just lived down over here on Windsor Lane is where they lived, so we were back and forth a lot. My mother was a Field Kenley grad, so we were back and forth a lot during my youth with Coffeyville and Independence. Dad owned the Otasco and Independence is why we ended up over there. So, but it's just a great thrill to be here, Coach Rolls and I, to see Bill and Joanne here. I drive by this row, by the house all the time, and usually Bill's out here working in the yard. I always wanted to stop by, but I think this has to go all the way back. Yeah, I said I would have got stuck here for a long time, probably. He always kept such a great place. Well, thank you all. This is an awesome deal, and I appreciate the invitation that we had earlier from Mike to let us know that this was happening. Yep.
This time also, Dr. Jerry Hamner, were you the superintendent or principal for him?
Well, we worked together in the same building for a while.
So we invited Dr. Jerry Hamner to stay a little bit. When he got here, I said, now, Mike told you you're speaking. I think he almost had a heart attack because he thought he was going to do the whole presentation, but I wanted him just to share a little bit of his time because Bill and Joanne both worked in the schools for numerous years.
I see now what happens when you show up late. First, I want to apologize to Bill. For the last several years, like when I go to Walmart, I run into people who I've known as students. Many of them come up to me and they say, oh, how great it is to see you. I always liked you. You were one of my favorites. And I thank them for that. And I say, well, it's very nice to have seen you. And they say, it's nice to have seen you too, Mr. Long. Has happened more than once. Yeah. In addition to working with Joanne and Bill for a number of years, Roosevelt Middle School, that's where we spent a lot of our time. I always had a lot of respect for Bill because I came there and I knew that translates into being a good teacher. And probably one of the toughest jobs, first of all, anywhere is teaching, and then on top of that is middle school. That's really tough. In addition to knowing Bill for a number of years and knowing these things about him, I've worked with Meals on Wheels since, well, it's been 20 years, and for many of those years, Bill was a loyal volunteer for delivering Meals on Wheels, and I always appreciated that. And I just want to say thank you for all the years that you've touched the lives of a lot of students, both of you. Joanne, working in the office there, that's one of the more important jobs in the school, as you know. But you have touched the lives of a lot of students and done a lot of good there. We all appreciate it and wish you the best of luck.
Thank you, Dr. Jerry Hamm. And I'm going to start calling him Dr. Bill Long now. But you know, Dr. Hamm's right about the legacy they've left at the schools, not only at church and the schools. You know, if you're the secretary, you're the opening face of the school, and somebody walks in, and sometimes that's not always safe. But I knew one guy, I asked him to kind of speak. He goes, oh no. He goes, I never even had Bill Long as a teacher, but I just loved him back in the school when I was there. He was such a great influence. And also now, Randy and Earl was going to share something in. Jan, if you guys can come up and just kind of share a few of your memories with Bill. And where is Randy? Yeah, there he is. Come on. I think him and Earl have some of the same stories. Earl, why don't you share? This is Earl Menifee.
Yeah, I'll let Randy share that one story. I got one I could share, but I don't think Bill wants me to.
Is that when he hit his hand with a hammer?
No, that was me.
Oh.
Yeah, we was working on the church, and if you ever worked with Bill, he always had to have everything perfect. The rest of us wasn't that way. So Bill usually ended up working by himself. And then when he'd need us to help him lift something, he'd come and get us, and we'd do it. And he said, go on, I'll go ahead and get ready on this other part. And that's why he'd do that. And Connie and I had a chance to talk with Bill and Joanne yesterday. It just is a really good talk. Made me realize what a church we do have. Because when we founded the church, we wanted to be out in the community. And we were really out in the community, and Bill and Joanne was in on everything. And I remember the first harvest party we had. Randy and I was going, oh, we hope somebody will show up to this thing. And we was worried. And man, we had people all over the place. We had fireworks that we shot off, and somebody called the police on us. So they come out because there was shots fired at Grace Fellowship. And after it was all over and we was putting stuff up, like I said, this was the first one we did. Joanne come up, she was so excited. If Randy and I hadn't have done one the next year, I think she'd have shot us. But everybody is excited, and I'll let Randy tell his story here.
Well, mine is Miss Joanne. You may know Mike because, you know, we do our praise band practice at 8 to 9, and from 9 to about 9:45, they'd have Bible study. And so if we were running long, they would meet in the back of the sanctuary, and Miss Long would kind of look, you know. And we'd run a little bit longer, and she'd start walking to the stage. And we knew, okay, we're done. Cut it off. Remember that?
No.
Oh, yeah. I do. So they was all telling stories about Bill. I had to tell a story about you. Mr. Bill, 12 years drinking coffee. Bill would come up to the office every day, except when he was taking Mrs. Long to the beauty parlor. Every Thursday. And so Bill would come and drink coffee every day. It was like clockwork. So we spent a lot of good time together. But he was just part of the Comforting Angels family. So every day. So we'd always make sure that we had coffee ready about 10 o'clock every day because Mr. Bill was going to come. But the funny story that Earl's saying is when we was building the sanctuary there at Grace Fellowship, Mr. Bill being a math teacher, and me and Bob York is sitting there and we're trying to figure an angle up on the back wall, and we're studying it, and Bill comes along and says, what are you fellas doing? We said, well, we're trying to kind of figure the angle of the cut that we're going to have to do. Oh, I figured about like that. And the look, we just kind of, because we're thinking, boy, Bill's going to give us all about a 33.5 angle, you know, and I wanted to say, show your work.
I thought of another one. Bill's birthday party that one time. We had a surprise birthday party for Bill, and Joanne and Randy, they had this planned and built it. For some reason, he never caught on. And so Joanne got him up to the church, and I had to call him that day and tell him that I needed him to help me do something. So there's about 25 cars out there. So Bill's telling Joanne, well, why couldn't he find somebody else to help him with 25 cars out here? And Joanne had to keep a straight face. And then when we opened the double doors, Bill knew what the surprise was.
Well, I don't have any funny stories, but I just... when Terry and I moved to Coffeyville, I didn't know where we had moved to because I'd come from the big city, grew up in the big city, and what in the world was I doing here with... We lived out in the country and we had no telephone, no internet, nothing. And we found Grace Fellowship, thankfully. And the first couple that we got friends with was Bill and Joanne, and we started going out to eat every Sunday because we found out right away that if you were born and raised here, like so many of you are, you all go as a family. And people that don't have family here have to find another couple that doesn't have family. And so Joanne and Bill's kids were in Texas, our kids were in Texas. We both had lost daughters, and that was something that we could comfort each other, Joanne and I. And so we just got to know them really well, and they just became good friends. And I wish I had a funny story to tell, but all I have is just sweet, sweet memories.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Dan. So again, as we close, I just want to say thank you for you guys being here. Thanks, Bill and Joanne, for just being the devout followers of Jesus Christ that you are. We're so thankful for you. Billy and Mike, thank you that we could do this. Again, like I said, for a while there, I was a little leery about what we were doing. And thank you guys for all coming out. Amen. And so as we close, and Bill, I'm sure if you give them the finger, they'll do one more encore for I'll Fly Away with their closing song.
That is the national anthem.
The national anthem of Grace Fellowship. And the last thing then is what we do here at Grace Fellowship for special occasions or when someone's sick. Rowena Thompson makes prayer shawls. The mother ladies make prayer shawls. And what we do is we give these to people. Joanne and Bill, they're not sick right now, but they are moving into Windsor. It's a big change, leaving their home for so many years. And we just want to give them each a prayer shawl, just as a blessing from the church that we prayed over for them. And what we do here at the church is we come forward and we just lay our hands as a church and pray over it, blessing them. And we'll just do that right now. The best for you in your new home.
Yes.
Thank you so much for your faith in Christ, the inspiration you've been in Christ to our community, to our church, to the kids in school, for both of y'all.
Thank you.
Let us go in peace, sharing God's love, making disciples for His glory. Amen,
amen.
And amen.
Amen.
Can't thank you enough. I'm going to try to keep it together. But thank you very much for being here. It means so much. They are doing great. And our cousin Marvin is their next door neighbor out there. So Marvin's been there for a little bit, a few months.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, he's their next door neighbor out there, so the long family reunion will be out there from now on. So. But thank you enough, cannot thank you enough from Billy and I. Thank you very much.
God bless you all.